وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، let's see where we were. Okay, so we were discussing the موضوع hadith or the fabricated hadith, and
Right.
what are some of the reasons why a hadith are fabricated. So then Imam Ibn Hajar is talking about turuqul wada', the different pathways to fabrication, and he mentions thumma al-marwi, that sometimes the hadith or the report is fabricated because taratan yakhtari'uhu al-wadi', that the fabricator just makes it up, and he's going to give us later on dawafi' al-wad', what are the causes, what are the motivators of fabrication. And then we have وَتَارَةً يَأْخُذُ كَلَامَ غَيْرِهِ كَبَعْدِ السَّلَفِ الصَّالِحِ أَوْ قُدَمَاءِ الْحُكَمَاءِ أَوْ الْإِسْرَائِيلِيَّاتِ. And sometimes what happens is that the fabricator takes the words of another person, such as the words of a pious person or some philosophers and wise person from the past, or some biblical narrations, and just prefix an isnad to that with qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and passes it off as a hadith. This is also wada', so we have, for example, حب الدنيا رأس كل خطيئة, that the love of this world is the pinnacle of, or the mother of all evils. This is the saying of a pious person, and it has been presented as a hadith. أو يأخذ حديثا ضعيف الإسناد فيركب له إسنادا صحيحا ليروج. Or sometimes what happens, you get a hadith which is very weak in isnad, and a sahih isnad is applied onto that so that this hadith can become famous. So this is also a type of fabrication. وَالْحَامِلُ لِلْوَضْعِ عَلَى الْوَضْعِ. There are a number of reasons, motivators that a person does fabrication for. Number one, imma adamu dini kazzanadiqa, either they don't have any religion like the zindiq, and their sole purpose of fabricating a hadith is so that they can cause confusion amongst the Muslims. Number two, aw ghalabatul jahli kaba'd al muta'abbidin, or because of jahl, such as kaba'd al muta'abbidin, because of ignorance and not knowing, like some worshippers do, like Abu Ismah Nuh ibn Abi Maryam said that when I saw people engrossing themselves too much with Hanafi fiqh, I fabricated a hadith on the Fada'il al Quran so that people may come back to the Quran. Okay. أو فرط العصبية كبعض المقلدين, or because of extreme partisanship, such as some of the مقلدون have done, like, you know, from the sides of the Hanafis, they've made up hadiths against the Shafi'is and vice versa. أو اتباع هواء بعض الرؤساء, or to following the whims of some of the leaders and some of the kings, like we saw with Ghiyas ibn Ibrahim. أو الإغراب لقصد الاشتهار, or bringing the most unusual, غريب, fabricated hadith so that one can become famous. So the more غريب and the more unusual thing, unique thing that somebody brings, the more people gravitate towards that person, because that person is not saying something what everybody else is saying, and that is a way of drawing attraction to themselves. وَكُلُّ ذَلِكَ حَرَامٌ بِإِجْمَاعِ مَنْ يُعْتَدُّ بِهِ إِلَّا أَنَّ بَعْضَ الْكَرَامِيَّةِ وبعد المتصوفة نقل عنهم إباحة الوضع في الترغيب والترهيب، وهو خطأ من فاعله نشأ عن جهل، لأن الترغيب والترهيب من جملة الأحكام الشرعية. And all of the above motivations and reasons for fabricating a hadith is haram according to the ijma of those people that we take into consideration their ijma. However, some karamiyas, which are some ghulat Shias and some Sufis, it has been narrated from them that it is permissible to fabricate for encouraging people to do good and for scaring them from doing wrong. And they base this on the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ says, "Man kadhaba alayya muta'ammidan falyatabawwa maq'adahu min an-nar," that whoever tells a lie upon me. So these people say, "Man kadhaba alayya muta'ammidan," is haram to tell a lie on the Prophet. "Waman kadhaba lirrasuli muta'ammidan," that whoever lies for the sake of the Prophet is not impermissible. That's their argument. But Imam Ibn Hajar says, وَهُوَ خَطَأٌ مِّن فَاعِلِهِ, and this is a khata, this is a mistake from the person who does this and the person who claims this, نَشَأَ عَن جَهْلٍ, which is born out of ignorance, لِأَنَّ التَّرْغِيبَ وَالتَّرْهِيبَ, because motivating someone and warning someone, ترغيب ترهيب, من جملة الأحكام الشرعية, these are from the أحكام of the Sharia. واتفقوا على أن تعمد الكذب على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من الكبائر, and the ulama are all agreed on the fact that to say a lie or to tell a lie on the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم purposefully is a kabira sin. وبالغ أبو محمد الجويني فكفر من تعمد الكذب على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And Imam Abu Muhammad al-Juwayni, Imam al-Haramain, he says, he does takfir on the person who has من تعمد الكذب على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, who has intentionally lied on the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Even the ulama, they go to this extent to say that whoever does not know how to read the I'rab properly and starts reading the I'rab of the hadith incorrectly without learning the I'rab first, that in itself is it can also be at-ta'ammud al-kadhib ala an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. واتفقوا على تحريم رواية الموضوع إلا مقرونا ببيانه. And the ulama are all agreed that it is haram to narrate a fabricated hadith, except in the case where there is an explanation that this hadith is fabricated. And the sole reason for narrating that fabricated hadith at that particular moment is to let people know that it is fabricated. Why? لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم, من حدث عني بحديث يرى أنه كذب فهو أحد الكاذبين. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, whoever narrates from me a hadith, and he sees that this is a lie, then he is one of two liars. أخرجه مسلم. Either he is lying and making up something, or he is lying upon me. أخرجه مسلم. Imam Muslim has referenced it. Well, so now we have finished the قسم الأول, which is the hadith موضوع. Now we come to the قسم الثاني. قسم الثاني of what? قسم الثاني of this that Imam Ibn Hajar was talking about. أو تهمته بذلك. So one who is has been accused of lying. Let me just put a let me just put a bookmark here because we will need to come back to this again. So والثاني ثاني is the one تهمة بالكذب أو كذب من أقسام المردود وهو ما يكون بسبب تهمة الراوي بالكذب وهو المتروك. The cause of رد is because the راوي has been charged with, it's not been established, but the راوي has been charged with kill. And this hadith is matruk. So we mentioned that a hadith where a person, the rawi, is known to lie in his everyday affair, although it is not known whether he has lied in the hadith of the Prophet or not. This person is muttaham bil kadhib. His riwayat is not accepted. This is called matruk. So sometimes we say this person is matrukul hadith. When we say this person is matrukul hadith, it means that he has been accused of lying. وثالث المنكر. And the third one is منكر على رأي من لا يشترط في المنكر قيد المخالفة. The fourth one is منكر according to those people who do not stipulate the condition of مخالفة in munkar. So remember before we said that munkar is a type of mukhalafa, where munkar is when a rawi who is a weaker rawi opposes in his riwaya or in their riwaya the narration of a strong now rawi. This is called munkar, and the opposite is called ma'ruf. So the munkar comes in a state of mukhalafa. Here Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi is saying is that munkar can also come without mukhalafa, and there are certain types of ahadith where there is no mukhalafa there, but these are still called munkar. So which types of hadith? So the third one. What was the third one? He says, third one was fahsh ghalat, the one who makes obscene mistakes, right? Wakadha al-rabi', and the fourth person, the kathurat ghaflatuhu, the fourth person is the one who's completely irresponsible and he's doesn't know what he's doing. Wal khamis, the one who is a fasiq, right? So the fahsh ghalat and the kathurat ghaflatuhu and dhahar al-fisq, these three, the riwayats of these three people are also known as munkar. فَحَدِيثُهُ مُنْكَرٌ. So the riwayat of these people are also known as munkar. See if I've got any notes on this. Okay, ثم الوهم. Thereafter comes وهم, confusion. وهو القسم السادس وإنما أفصح به لطول الفصل. And Imam Ibn Hajar specifically mentioned this because the discussion on وهم is quite long and is quite complicated. This is why he separated this from the previous discussion of munkar. In uttila alayhi al-wahm bil qara'in ad-dalla ala man wahima rawihi min wasl mursalin aw munqati'in aw idkhal hadithin fi hadithin aw nahw dhalika min al-ashya' al-qadiha wa tahsul ma'rifatu dhalika bi kathrati at-tatabbu' wa jam' at-turuq fa hadha huwa al-mu'allal. And the waham is in uttulia alayhi ayil waham, if one becomes aware of the waham because of the bilqara'in iddalla ala wahmi rawihi, because there are certain indicators which are indicating to the confusion of the rawi. Now, the reason why he said inuttuli alayhi, inuttuli ala al-wahmi, is because waham or confusion of a rawi is quite difficult to detect. Okay, and waham occurs in a place in a hadith which is seemingly from the outset you can see that it looks fine. There is adalatul rawi, there is dabtul rawi, there is ittila ittisalus sanad, but still there might be a waham in that, and this is why it is quite difficult to detect waham. And how what are the types of waham? He says min wasli mursilin aw munqati'in. For example, a rawi is confused, and as a result of this he does wasal of a mursil hadith. He links a mursil hadith or a munqati' hadith, or he interpolates one hadith into another, أو نحو ذلك من الأشياء القادحة, or other types of defects. And the way that one recognizes the waham is by the kathrat al-tatabbu', by following up, and وجمع الطرق. Just 1 minute. Are there any questions before we move on? Are there any questions?
No.
Okay. So Imam Ibn Hajar says what this is the mu'allal hadith. So when we talk about that As-Sahih hadith is a hadith which is adalatul rawi, dabtul rawi, ittisalus sanad, adamul shuzuz, adamul illah. What we mean by adamul illah is the absence of waham. Okay, that there is that on the face of it everything looks fine, but actually there is a subtle problem with this hadith, because one of the rawis have got waham, and this hadith is also called mu'allal. And the problem is illa or illal. Okay, well, and however illa is one of those things, or waham is one of those things, it's like you can't really put your finger onto it. So what are the if you look at all of the problems with a hadith in the isnad or the matan, so for example we looked at munkar, we looked at matruk, we looked at mawdu', we looked at munqati', we looked at mudallas, we looked at mursal khafi, we looked at mu'dal, we will look at mudraj, we will look at maqlub, we will look at it's a musahhaf, we will look at muharraf. Everything which you cannot categorize under one of these categories, which are known as defects of hadith, and you can't categorize them under any of those categories, that is an illah. So the illah in that sense is an overarching terminology for every types of mistakes which cannot be categorized in any other types of mistakes. Does that make sense?
Yes, and it's only, explained as wahm. Like all of those mistakes that are not categorized in the other mistakes are connected to wahm. Is that correct? Okay.
So this is why it's very difficult to pinpoint what ilal is. And in order to do that, you need to go to like Imam Dharqutni and Imam Ali ibn Madini's book Kitabul Ilal and things like that, and to see what they're talking about. And you'll see that they have so much intimate knowledge of each individual riwayah that they are able to tell you what the problem is. Okay, and this is why Imam Ibn Hajar says there isn't really a kind of algorithm or a framework for knowing when an illah occurs, that takes immersion. It takes years of immersion in studying hadith, after which you will get a flavor for it, you will get an experience for it. This is why Imam Ibn Hajar says, and the mu'allal, knowing the ilal, is min aghmadi anwa'i ulum al hadith wa adaqqiha wa la yaqumu bihi illa man razaqa Allah ta'ala fahman thaqiban. It is one of the most convoluted chapters in ulum al hadith, and one of the most nuanced, and no one is able to service this other than the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gave a fahman thaqiban, has given somebody a razor sharp understanding. Thaqib is fire, razor sharp understanding. Wa hibzan wasi'an, and great memory. Wa ma'rifatan tammatan bi maratib ruwat, and who has a very a complete oversight and knowledge of the conditions and the status of the ruwat. Wa malakatan qawiyatan bil asanid wal mutun, and someone who has a great capacity of knowing isnads and mutun. Wa lihada lam yatakallam fihi illa al qalil min ahli hadha shan, and this is why seldom people talk about this, or very less people talk about this other than the people who are known for this, such as Ka'ali ibn al-Madini, his book called Kitab al-Ilal, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam al-Bukhari, Ya'qub ibn Abi Shayba, Abi Hatim al-Razi, Abu Zur'a al-Razi, al-Darqutni. These names that he has mentioned are also imams of Ilal. They saying something in and of itself is a hujjah. They don't need to give you, you don't need to provide further evidence, and they don't need to provide further evidence. If Ali ibn al-Madini said this is mu'allal, then that in itself is a hujjah. Yeah? You don't need to say, but why? Why does he say that? No, Ali ibn al-Madini says it, he's a hujjah. So Ali ibn al-Madini, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Bukhari, Ya'qub ibn Abi Shayba, Ibn Abi Hatim, Al-Razi, Abu Zur'a Al-Razi, Al-Darqutni. There needs to be one name that needs to also be added to this, which Imam Ibn Hajar doesn't, and that is also Imam al-Nasa'i. Okay, Imam al-Nasa'i is also from the A'immatul Jarh wa Ta'dil. These people, so not people who come afterwards like Imam Ibn al-Jawzi or Suyuti. These are the people that their Jarh and Ta'dil really takes into consideration. And if you basically, have Imam Bukhari and then Imam Suyuti saying something opposite, then Bukhari will take preference. Yeah. وقد تقصر عبارة المعلل عن إقامة الحجة على دعواه, and the it is sufficient to confine oneself to the text of the person who's bringing out the علل in عن إقامة الحجة rather than providing an evidence on his claim. So this is what I said, that it is sufficient just to say Imam Ali ibn al-Madini said it, rather than bring a hujjah and evidence to back up his claim. Yeah. كَالصَّيْرَفِيِّ فِي نَقْدِ الدِّينَارِ وَالدِّرْهَمِ, like the goldsmith in assessing and in critically analyzing silver and gold. We don't say to the goldsmith, go and bring your dalil. If the goldsmith says it that this is fake, then that in itself is hujjah, because that person has the experience and the immersion of doing this for a very, very, very long time. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, what if within that group there's a dispute or a difference of opinion?
So in that case, then what you need to do is you need to then look at secondary issues on this. So, for example, I'll give you a hadith, Istinjab al-Hajarain. Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahmatullahi alayhi, believes that the hadith of Istinjab al-Hajarain the more sahih version of that hadith is that it is mawquf. Imam and his dalil is that Imam Abu Zur'a al-Razi and Abu Hatim al-Razi believe that this hadith is mawquf. So they are his hujjah. They believe that this hadith should be mawquf, as a result of which Imam Tirmizi believes that this hadith which should be mawquf. And Imam Tirmizi in the Sunan, he critiques Imam Bukhari for believing that the hadith is muttasil, whereas Imam Bukhari believes the hadith is muttasil. So now you have Imam Ibn Abi Hatim al-Razi and Imam Abu Zur'a al-Razi on one side, and then you have Imam Bukhari on the other side. We need to go to the secondary literature. So every single secondary literature on this basically mention that Imam Bukhari is correct and Abu Zur al-Razi and Abu Hatim al-Razi and by proxy Imam Tirmizi are incorrect. And that's how you would decide. I asked, so this is something that I looked in my PhD thesis and I couldn't find the answer to this. I asked Sheikh Akram Nadwi, I said to him, Sheikh, Imam Tirmizi wasn't stupid, you know. He very well, he was a student of Imam al-Bukhari. He very well knew what Imam Bukhari's opinion was. And in fact, he critiques Imam Bukhari's opinion in the Sunan. So clearly, there must have been something which was so convincing to Imam al-Tirmidhi that he is critiquing Imam al-Bukhari. And he wasn't stupid. And yes, everybody else that comes after Imam Ibn Hajar has a whole chapter in Hadith Sari where he's vindicating Imam al-Bukhari and he takes Imam Tirmizi to task on this. But that's fine. But Imam Tirmizi knew what he was getting himself into. So what is it that made Imam al-Tirmizi go against Bukhari and go with Abu Zur'a al-Razi and Abu Hatim al-Razi? Sheikh Akram basically said, I don't know the answer to that, but sometimes just to look for the answer to something like that will take you a lifetime. I still don't know the answer to that. And obviously after my PhD, I haven't actually looked at it. But this is an example, Hussein, of what you just mentioned. You will have to look into secondary evidences then to come as an arbitrator between them. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, he's now going on to number seven. So number seven, so we looked at Kidhb al-Rawi or Kadhib al-Rawi, that's number one. So Kidhb al-Rawi, the hadith is matruk, the hadith is mawdu'. Tuhmat al-Rawi, the hadith is matruk. Then we have fahsh ghalat, ghafla, and fisq. The hadith is known as munkar. Then the hadith where there is waham, we call that hadith muallal, and the problem is illa. Now we come into mukhalafa. Now, when it comes to mukhalafa, Imam, this is a big discussion because so many things can become mukhalafa. So where, you know, in the waham, it was just muallal, one thing, and fisq, it was just munkar, one thing. The mukhalafa is separated into many different types of mukhalafa. So if there is a type of mukhalafa, which is, I mean, I made a graph of this. So if the mukhalafa is taghyir al-siyaq, that the context of the hadith changes, then this is called mudraj. And either there is idraj in the isnad, which is there are four types Imam Ibn Hajar mentions, or there is idraj in the matan. If it is mukhalafa, but the mukhalafa is bitaqdim wa ta'khir, and I'm looking at the red here, then this is called al-maqloob. If there is mukhalafa with rawi interpolated into the isnad, this is called al-mazid fi muttasil sanad. And then if it's mukhalafa bil-ibdal, then this is called muttarab. And there are other mukhalafa bil-muharraf, mukhalafa bil-musahhaf. So Mukhalafa has sub-branches, okay? And these sub-branches, all of them, we can say that this is a type of Mukhalafa, but they further are categorized into names such as Mudraj, Muttarab, Mazid fi Muttasil al-Sanad, Maqlub, Muharraf, Musahhaf. Does that make sense? That's a bird's eye view because we're going to go into the details and we may lose sight of the woods for the trees. So I just wanted to give you a bird's eye of what's happening here. Yeah?
Yep.
Okay. So he's gonna be on mukhalafa for a bit now, because of all of these different types of mukhalafa that he has mentioned. ثم المخالفة وهي القسم السابع. As far as مخالفة is concerned, and this is the seventh type, إن كانت واقعة بسبب, that it happens because of a سبب. And what is that سبب? Number one is تغير السياق, that the entire context and the flow changes. أي سياق الإسناد. I.e. the flow of the isnad and the context of the isnad changes. فَالْوَاقِعِ فِيهِ ذَلِكَ التَّغْيِيرِ هُوَ مُدْرَجُ الْإِسْنَادِ. If there is such changes, which changes the context of the isnad, then this is called مُدْرَجُ الْإِسْنَادِ or interpolation in the isnad. وَهُوَ أَقْسَامٌ. And there are different types. So now we're looking at Mudraj al-Isnad. He's going to give you about give us about four or five types of idraj interpolations that happens in the Isnad. Al-awwal al-yarwiya jama'atun al-haditha bi-asanid mukhtalifa or mukhtalifa. That a group of people narrate a hadith. And this one hadith has got different isnads, bi asanid mukhtalifa. So it's five people, they narrate a hadith, and that hadith has got different isnads. فَيَرْوِيهِ عَنْهُمْ رَاوِي. So from these five, one rawi narrates all five hadith. فَيَجْمَعُ الْكُلُّ عَلَىٰ إِسْنَادٍ وَاحِدٍ مِنْ تِلْكَ الْأَسَانِيدِ وَلَا يُبَيِّنَ الْإِخْتِلَافِ. And the person, that one rawi, collects all of these together in one isnad. And مِنْ تِلْكَ الْأَسَانِيدِ, he merges all of these isnads, وَلَا يُبَيِّنَ الْإِخْتِلَافِ, and he does not explain the ikhtilaf. So sometimes, you know, when reading Sahih Muslim and others, Imam Muslim will basically say, حَدَّثَنَا, 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 then he'll have ha. Right, ha basically means I'm drawing your attention to another isnad, and then he's going to give another isnad. Then at the end, he's going to give the matan, and then in the matan, he's going to say wal lafdhu lil Muhammad ibn Musanna. He's drawing our attention that he has interpolated it. He's given it the two isnad, but this particular wording belongs to this particular person. Right, here it's talking about the same thing, but the rawi is not telling us anything. So the person who doesn't know will think that this is all one hadith. I have an example of this. Let's have a look. So we have two narrators of a hadith. Asim ibn Damura, who narrated this hadith as mawquf on Sayyidina Ali. So it's not a hadith of the Prophet, it's a hadith of Sayyidina Ali, mawquf. And Harith ibn al-A'war, who narrated it as marfu' directly to the Prophet ﷺ. Jarir ibn Hazim combined both isnads and presented it as one. So let's have a look at this. حدثنا سليمان ابن داود المهري قال أخبرنا ابن وهب قال أخبرني جرير ابن حازم وسمى آخر. And he mentioned someone else. عن أبي إسحاق عن عاصم ابن ضمرة والحارث الأعور عن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So here we find that Asim ibn Damra and Harith al-A'war, both of them come within the same isnad. from Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, in reality, Asim ibn Damura stops at Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where the isnad of Haris ibn al-A'war goes all the way to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The culprit who is doing this is not Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i, but his student Jarir ibn Hazim. And we know that by comparing the other students of Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i, who has narrated the hadith from him, and they don't do that. Jarir ibn Hazim is the only one who does this, and therefore we know him to be the culprit. عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِبَعْدِ أَوَّلِ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ قَالَ فَإِذَا كَانَ فَكَ مِئَةَ دِرْحَمٍ وَحَالَ عَلَيْهِ الْحَوْلُ فَفِيهَا خَمْسَةُ دَرَاهِمَ وَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ شَيْءٌ يَعْنِي فِي الْبَابِ حَتَّى يَكُونَ 20 دِرْهَمًا. So this is talking about, you know, zakat. This read bit later, Imam Abu Dawud says, قَالَ فَلَا أَدَرِي عَلِيٌّ يَقُولُ بِحِسَابِ ذَلِكَ أَوْ رَفَعَهُ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَوْ فَفِيهَا نِصْفُ دِرْهَمٍ فَمَا زَادَ. قال فلا أدري أعلي يقول فبحساب ذلك أو رفع للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في مال زكاة حتى يحول عليه الحول إلا أن جريرا قال ابن وهب يزيد في الحديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس في مال زكاة حتى يحول عليه الحول. So Imam Abu Dawud is basically bringing evidence that Ibn Wahab is basically saying that it was Jarir ibn Hazim who has merged both of these isnads together. And therefore, this is Mudraj fil Usnad. If we look at the next hadith of Sunan Abu Dawud, we have the same hadith here. حدثنا عمرو بن عون قال أخبرنا أبو عوانة عن أبي ساكن عاصم بن دمرة. So here, the Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i student is Abu Awana, and this Isnad only has Asim ibn Damura. عن علي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قد وليس في التلفاز. اوكي. قال ابو داود روى هذا الحديث الاعمش عن ابي اسحاق قال كما قال ابو عوانه ورواه الشيبان ابو معاويه وابراهيم بن تخمان عن ابي اسحاق عن الحارث عن علي عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال ابو داود وروى حديث النفيل شعبه سفيان وغير عن ابي عن عاصم عن علي لم يرفعوه او وقفوه على علي. So what Imam Abu Dawud is basically doing is he's giving us all of the mutaba'at of Asim ibn Damura, and also so the mutaba'at of the different ways that this hadith has been narrated. The point here is that Jarir ibn Hazim has done idraj fi sanad. So then we've got Nailul Autar here. So I'm looking at Nailul Autar, which is Imam Shawkani. Ruya min tariq Asim ibn Damura wa Damura an Aliyin wa min tariq al-Harith al-A'war an Aliyin aydan qala al-Tirmizi rawa hadha al-hadith A'mash wa Abu Awana wa ghayruhum an Abi Ishaq an Asim ibn Damura an Aliyin wa rawa Sufyan al-Thawri wa Ibn Uyainah wa ghayru wahidin an Abi Ishaq an al-Harith an Aliyin wa Saltu Muhammadan liyan al-Bukhari an hadha al-hadith fa qala kilahuma indi sahihun intaha. So this is a hadith which is merged by the hadith, as far as whether it's mawquf on Ali or whether it's marfu' or to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, both of them are sahih as far as the isnad is concerned. Problematic is the merged isnad. Okay, and as I mentioned to you before, that as far as the matan of the hadith is concerned, the matan of the hadith is still fine. This is what we call sana'atul hadithiyya. This is crafts people, hadith craftsmen talking amongst themselves. It has actually no ramifications on the matan of the hadith. So this is within the crafts. Does that make sense? Yeah?
Yes.
وثاني أي, so the second type is أَيَّكُونَ الْمَتَنُ عِنْدَ رَاوٍ إِلَّا طَرَفًا مِنْهُ. That the matan of the hadith is with one rawi, however, there is a bit of that matan missing, right? So he has 90% of the matan that he directly heard from his sheikh, and 10% of it he heard from it through a second person. So there is a gap between him and his sheikh. فَإِنَّهُ عِنْدَهُ بِإِسْنَادٍ آخَرٍ فَيَرْوِيهِ رَاوٍ عَنْهُ تَامًا بِالْأَنْدَاءُ. Or the second bit, sorry, not through a wasta, But the last 10%, he heard it to another isnad. Okay, so this is the same person. Then Rawi, what he does is he merges them together with the first isnad, giving the indication that this is actually not two hadiths, this is one hadith. وَمِنْهُ أَنْ يَسْمَعَ الْحَدِيثِ مِنْ شَيْخِهِ إِلَّا تَرَفًا. And another type of this is that a person hears a hadith from the sheikh other than some bits of it, like 10% of it, he doesn't. مِنْهُ فَيَسْمَعُ عَنْ شَيْخِهِ بِوَاسِطَةً. And he hears that 10% through a medium. فَيَرْوِيهِ رَاوِي عَنْهُ تَامًا بِحَذْفِ الْوَاسِطَةِ. And the rawi who narrates from him, narrates the entire thing from him without by eliminating the wasta. You know, sometimes we say this, or I've heard this, you know, Sheikh Mansur say this, X, Y, and Z. And then we say, oh, by the way, this bit of information that I am saying, I didn't actually hear it directly from Sheikh Hadith, Sheikh Mansur. I've heard everything else, but this part I haven't. I heard this from Hussein, who says that Sheikh Mansur said this. But then you come along, right, and when you Omar, and you are narrating this to somebody else, you drop out Hussein from the picture and you say the whole thing as if you heard the whole thing from me. Does that make sense?
Yes. What's the difference between this and like tadlis? Because it seems to be similar. I mean, I know the definition of tadlis with, you know, dropping the sheikh and what we learned, but
yeah, so tadlis will only happen when the person is known to do tadlis. He's from the third, fourth, or fifth types of Ibn Hajar. No, any drops in and of itself doesn't. And this was Hussein's question from a few weeks ago, whether something is mu'allaq, a kind of mu'allaq bi tadlis. No. The answer to that is that tadlis only happens from a mudallis. You know, if somebody does it once or twice, this will not be counted as tadlis. So here, this will not be counted as tadlis if the person is not known to do tadlis. However, if the person is a known mudallis, then this will, at least to a certain extent, this will be tadlis and mudraj. Does that make sense? So tadlis is a profession.
Yeah, that makes sense.
الثالث أن يكون عند الراوي متنان مختلفان بإسنادين مختلفين. That a rawi has two different matans and these two different matans have two different isnads. فَيَرْوِيهِمَا رَاوٍ عَنْهُ مُقْتَصِرًا عَلَىٰ أَحَدِ الْإِسْنَيْنِ. So both of these hadiths then are narrated by this from this rawi by another rawi, but he only mentions one isnad. So two hadiths, but with only one isnad rather than both isnads. So it is as if he has merged the isnad. أَوْ يَرْوِيَ أَحَدُ الْحَدِيثَيْنِ بِإِسْنَادِهِ الْخَاصِ بِهِ لَكِنْ يَزِيدُ فِيهِ أَوْ يَزِيدُ فِيهِ مِنَ الْمَتَنِ الْآخِرِ مَا لَيْسَ فِي الْأَوَّلِ. Or he mentions both of the hadiths with one isnad, but makes an addition of the matan. So it's all of these kind of interpolation. There's different, we can go ad infinitum to this type of interpolation. But Imam Ibn Hajar is just giving us, just approximation of the types of interpolation. Any kind of interpolation in the isnad, whether it's two hadiths merged into one, the matan, or two isnad merged into one, or bits of isnad from there, bits of the, all of these are types of idraj. You know, if we go to count the number of logical possibilities, then it's going to be impossible. So this is not an exhaustive list. Yeah.
It seems like this would be very hard to find, because if you're relating 90% of one hadith with one isnad and then you are attaching the last 10% and you're not mentioning, it seems like this is one of the hardest things to figure out that the person. Well,
yeah, so this will also be a type of ilal. So some people will say this is ilal. Yeah. And the only people who are able to find this are the ones who have immersed themselves in hadith. It's not, you know, me and you, we won't be able to do that. It's very, very difficult.
Right.
No. الرابع يسوق الإسناد يعرض له عارض فيقول كلاما من قبل نفسه. that the fourth types of idraj fi sanad is that ayasuq al isnad, that the muhaddith is mentioning the isnad, fayaridu lahu aridun, and then he is disturbed because of something else, so he stops narrating. So he said the isnad, and then something happened, right? And then he stops, and then he starts talking, fayaqulu kalama min qibali nafsihi, to address some issue or whatever. He starts talking rather than narrating the hadith. فَيَظُنُّ بَعْضَ مَنْ سَمِعَهُ أَنَّ ذَلِكَ الْكَلَامُ هُوَ مَتْنُ ذَلِكَ الْإِسْنَادِ, that some people might think that these words themselves are the matn of that isnad, and they narrate it, and then they go ahead and narrate it in that way. So, for example, the very famous example of this is a person by the name of Thabit ibn Musa al-Zahid. Thabit ibn Musa al-Zahid one day entered the hadith majlis of a muhaddith called Sharik. And Sharik at that time was narrating an isnad. He was narrating the isnad. And just at that moment when the isnad finished, that's when Thabit ibn Musa al-Zahid entered. Okay? So Sharik, rather than carrying on narrating the matn of the hadith, what he did was he turned towards his students and he said, "Man kathurat salatuhu bil layli hasunat wajhuhu bil nahar," that whoever prays excessively at night, then there's going to be a glamour and a glimmer on his face during the daytime. And that was something that he said from himself, where he was praising Thabit ibn Musa. That wasn't a hadith. Thabit ibn Musa, they might have been friends. Thabit ibn Musa came in, Sharik stopped narrating the hadith, and he said this, "Man kathurat salatu bil layli hasanat wajhuhu bil nahar." Now, because Thabit ibn Musa wasn't a muhaddith, he was a Sufi, Zahid, he didn't know better, he didn't know the context. So what he does is, he goes out and he starts narrating this hadith from Sharik. Then he learns of the isnad, he starts narrating this hadith that with this isnad, Sharik said this. But actually, the other students who were there in the class, then they were the ones basically said, no, this is a mistake. Thabit ibn Musa is making a mistake. That was a kalam from Sharik, the Sheikh, and not a hadith of the Prophet. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes, that's a super interesting story.
Yeah. هذه أقسام مدرج الإسناد. These are the types of idraj interpolations in the isnad. Again, this is not exhaustive because we can have many logical possibilities of that. Yeah. As far as aqli is concerned, but as far as the types of interpolations that happens, then probably Imam Ibn Hajar has given us the most types of interpolations that have happened in hadith. وَأَمَّا مُذْرَجُ الْمَتَنِ, then the second type of تَغَيُّرُ السِّيَاقِ is مُذْرَجُ الْمَتَنِ. مُذْرَجُ الْمَتَنِ is interpolation of the matan. فَهُوَ أَيَّقَعَ فِي الْمَتَنِ كَلَامٌ لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَتَارَةٍ يَكُونُ فِي أَوَّلِهِ وَتَارَةً فِي أَثْنَائِهِ وتارة في آخره وهو الأكثر لأنه يقع بعطف جملة على جملة أو بدمج موقوف من كلام. Can you hear the fireworks in the background? It's the 5th of November here, which is known as Bonfire Nights. Wow. Okay, just 1 minute. I'm not going to say the name, but my Amazon automatic machine just went off and started talking all sorts of things, so I had to switch her off. Okay, if I say her name, then she's going to go off on one as well. وَأَمَّا مُدْرَجُ الْمَتَنِ فَهُوَ أَيَّقَعَ فِي الْمَتَنِ كلام ليس منه. مدرج المتن is there is some interpolation in the متن which is not a part of the متن. فتارة يكون في أوله, sometimes this happens in the beginning, وتارة في أثنائه, sometimes this happens in the end, وتارة في آخره, and sometimes it happens at the middle, and sometimes it happens at the end. And interpolations in the end happens the most because لأنه يقع بعطف جملة على جملة, because this is when one sentence is appended to another sentence. It's quite easily two sentences which are unrelated can get appended together. بدمج موقوف من كلام الصحابة أو من بعدهم بمرفوع من كلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من غير فصل, فهذا هو مدرج المتن. Or by دمج basically means by pressing a saying of a Sahabi or anybody after them with a marfu kalam of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam without separating them. فهذا هو مدرج المتن. This is مدرج المتن. Example of this is when we read a hadith which says عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أسبغ الوضوء وضوء فويل للأعقاب من النار. Right, this is a hadith where Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala who narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that do wudu properly because fear the hellfire from dry ankles. So here we find that the word وَيْلٌ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ, this is actually the words of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala. So أَسْبِقْ الْوُضُوءِ are the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu is explaining that a bit more, and he says وَيْلٌ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Right, some people in the riwayat of Khatib this is seen as one hadith. However, in the riwayat of Bukhari, we see that Imam Bukhari is quite vigilant and diligent, and he says, "Asbigh al-wudu, fa inna Abul Qasim." So, "Asbigh al-wudu" is from Abu Huraira. "Wailun lil-aqab min al-nar" is from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the riwayat of Bukhari, but in the riwayat of Khatib al-Baghdadi, we basically don't. We think that the entire thing is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in the riwayat of Bukhari, it says Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala says asbiq al wudu, right? Do the wudu properly. Fa inna Abu al Qasim qala wailun lil aqab. That Abu al Qasim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said wailun lil aqab. So here clearly in the riwayat of al Bukhari, the words of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala and the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are being clearly separated. A mudraj in the middle of the matan of the hadith will be something like وكان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتحنف وهو التعبد الليالي. Yeah, in the hadith we find the hadith of Babu Kayfa Kana Bad al-Wahi in Sahih al-Bukhari, we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do tahannuf, and then he says tahannuf is at-ta'abbud al-layali, vigils, night worship, right? Vigils at night time. So somebody might think that this وكان الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم يتحنف وهو تعبد الليالي is a part of the hadith, but actually it is idraj, is mudraj in the isnad. However, here it is not seen as a defect because the rawi is purposely interpreting it, and we know, I think it's Sufyan ibn Uyayna who is doing that. We know who is doing that. So there is clear indication that it is the Rawi's own words and not the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Does that make sense?
Yes.
ويدرك الإدراج بورود رواية مفصلة للقدر المدرج فيه أو بالتنسيس على ذلك من الراوي أو من بعض الأئمة المطلعين أو باستحالة كون النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ذلك. And this is your answer, Umar, that idraj will be found out, can be understood by bringing another hadith, the entirety of the hadith, from different narrations or different transmission lines through which we can recognize the idraj, right? All remember, ulum al-hadith is all about tatabbu' al-turuq, about tawabi' and shawahid. It's about corroboration. أو بالتنسيس على ذلك من الراوي, or that the Rawi tells us this. For example, we know that Sufyan ibn Uyayna is saying التحنف وهو التعبد الليالي, or Imam al-Bukhari is saying فإني سمعت Imam Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه saying فإني سمعت أبا القاسم صلى الله عليه وسلم. So this is clear nas from the Rawi. أو من بعض الأئمة المطلعين, or some of the ulama who know about this situation, they tell us. So for example, we see in the hadith of Sabit ibn Musa, he says, "Man kathra salatu bil layli hasunat wajhu bin nahar." The other students who were in the know, and they basically said, "Well, no, actually, this is wrong." أو باستحالة كون النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ذلك, or the impossibility of something like this, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying. These are all ways of knowing idraj in the sanad and the matan. وَقَدْ صَنَّفَ الْخَطِيبُ فِي الْمُدْرَجِ كِتَابًا وَلَقَصْتُهُ. And Khatib al-Baghdadi, he has done tasneef, he has authored a book on mudraj, which is called Al-Fasl al-Wasl al-Mudraj fi al-Naql, which is published. And Imam Ibn Hajar says, وَزِدْتُ عَلَيْهِ قَدْر مَا ذَكَرَ, and I added to that twice or more than what Imam Khatib al-Baghdadi has added or included. Walillahi alhamd, and for Allah is all praises. The Muhashshi basically says that Ibn Hajar's book Taqrib al-Manhaj bi Tartib al-Mudraj, it's lost. We know it because he writes about it, but the actual manuscript of that is lost. So we'll leave it up there. Are there any questions?
I guess the difference between the ziyade and the mudraj is the ziyada was the added words were attributed to the Prophet ﷺ as part of the hadith, and in the mudraj, it's a sahabi or someone explaining what is in the hadith or adding commentary to it. Is that correct?
No, I'm not understanding this dichotomy of ziyada and mudraj that you're making. Any kind of interpolation in the hadith is a form of ziyada, but it Got is it. A mukhalafa. It is a mukhalafa. If the narrator or any of the narrators are telling us that they are including that, then for clarification, like in the Bukhari riwayat, wahuwa tahannuf wahuwa at-ta'abud al-layali, then this doesn't come under mudraj, because mudraj is supposed to be negative, it is a weakness. If the rawi is Got telling it. Us that he's just explaining that, then we don't need to kind of see that as a mudraj, because it's not mudraj. Mudraj is interpolations which are quite difficult to find. Yeah.
Got it. And is mudraj a form of ziyade? Technically,
mudraj is a form of mukhalafa. Ziyada okay. is a form of mukhalafa.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, Jazakumullah khair. I will see you all, inshallah, next week.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you, Shaykh.
Assalamu alaikum.